Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Thursday. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy. And you know, you already know what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to go out and be an evangelist, be an activist, be a supporter of the Roundtable Talk Show. So I want you to find someone in your home that you can share this message with, someone on your social media that you can talk to, someone in your contacts that you can text, but you definitely want to send them the message that the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And why would you? I don't want your friends mad at you, because you're gaining all this information, you're taking notes, you're getting knowledge, you're networking, you're meeting new people. And where does that lead them? So help them level up, just like we're helping you level up by sharing the show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest. And my first guest is Miss Amy Hughes. You may recognize her from her comments on previous shows. She always tunes into the show, supports the show, and supports our guests. So I'm so excited to have her here with us today. And so Amy is also going to talk to us about her entrepreneurial spirit, but she's also going to talk to us about her business, Marshmallow. Amy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Nice to see you and glad to be here.
Marshmallow MBA. So Amy, what interests you about the show? Why do you tune in day after day after day and be a regular top fan who supports the show?
So I have to tell you, you are a bright spot in my day. I think as an entrepreneur, it's real easy to get, there's always work to do, right? We know that. But it's also, we need to get out of our own way sometimes. And so you give me my time slot where I say, okay, I've been working since whatever time it was. And I'm on the East Coast. So for you, you're right around midday for me. But I've appreciated the range of guests, the range of topics, and the really organic exchange of ideas. It's just, it's good for me. It gives me good headspace and lets me go on for the rest of the day.
Now, you mentioned the entrepreneurial spirit. One of the things that we discuss often on the show is typically what exactly is the entrepreneurial spirit? And one of the things that I have found, or the conclusion that I'm going to make, is that we usually get it from one or both of our parents. Where one, like for me, I talk about how my dad is entrepreneurial. He's never had a business, or excuse me, been employed my entire life. I've never seen my dad work for anyone else. Always been in business. Whereas my mom, real high up in corporate America, but she's always corporate jobs, taking jobs, been at jobs for 20 years, 15 years, you know? So to me, the entrepreneurial spirit is something like a learned behavior. We either get it from our family or don't. What does that mean to you, Amy?
You know, it's that nature versus nurture argument. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is not familial. My maternal grandfather was an entrepreneur, but he passed when I was very young. I come from a corporate background, federal government consulting, and I did that for a long time, but I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. I went to business school. I went to George Washington University, and it's the best decision I made as an adult, because it taught me that so many different things, but mostly about myself. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in church, and we had a sermon one week. What would you do? Well, what are you doing with your talents? What are mm-hmm. you doing? It's the master and the servant. What are you doing with the talents that God gave you? Mm-hmm. And it kind of knocked me back in the chair. And then the second week it was, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that opens up all kinds of possibilities. But my entrepreneurial spirit definitely came from B-school. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that, you know what, I don't think I can work for someone else anymore. And I want to fly. People said to me a number of times, if you had your own company, I would come work for you. And I never understood that. I never knew where that came from. Mm-hmm. But then doing it, jumping out in two companies in 5 years, I mean, mm-hmm. well, it's either sink or swim, fly or fall. Mm-hmm.
So when those people said to you, if you had your own company, I would come and work for you. You didn't understand it at the time. You obviously, I believe, understand it now. But what do you feel were some of the qualities that they saw in you?
I'm a strong leader. I recognize that now. And whether it's passive leadership or whether it's very active leadership, and it's been the active leadership lately that, that has been my role, but also speaking truth to power. My best mm-hmm. friend's brother has always said, that's your superpower. And it doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who it is. I find a way to do it. And it's mm-hmm. that pushing through even when your voice is shaking, but you know it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And also, I want my work to speak for itself. I'm not going to necessarily, I know you talk about this, and I love it, that this is about shameless self-promotion mm-hmm. and shameless self-promotion for the business. It's always been so much easier for me to mm-hmm. let my work speak mm-hmm. for me. And so finding my own voice has been something that in 2020, I've pushed myself to do, putting mm-hmm. my personality against the brand, putting my personality out there, rather mm-hmm. than just thinking about, oh, it needs to be a corporate image, it needs to be black and white. And so personalizing things is definitely a challenge, but you got to do it.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly, especially during this pandemic. I saw a lot of people put down this corporate shell, this corporate image that they've been keeping for so many years and like, okay, you know what? Let's just do it. One of the things that happened to me is I came up with the idea for the show on March 3rd. Then March 30th is when the actual date that I launched the show. So it's a month between idea and going live. And
but it's an Aries baby.
Oh, that's
coming
why I'm
out there right in the middle.
Yes, my birthday is the 31st of March. So I'm an Aries.
I'm the 25th.
Okay, my grandmother was the 24th. So go Aries, Aries power. That's what we do. But there was this month in between where the world went to hell in a handbasket and everything was shut down. So I come to do the show. Every beauty salon in America is closed. And all my friends were like, how are you going to do the show? What are you going to do? And I was like, you know what? That image, whatever it is, I'm just going to put it away. The show must go on. And that's what we stand by in business and entertainment. It doesn't matter. The show must go on. And so speaking to a lot of entrepreneurs as well as leaders, one of the things that I've seen during this time is more people looking for mentorship, more people who need to find a leader to lead the leaders, because the leaders found themselves in a very unusual position where this was something that they didn't have the answers for. So they would go to their teams and say, it's like a parent, everything's going to be all right. You know, mommy's like to the little kids, everything's going to be all right. And then she goes to talk to daddy and it's like, I don't know what is about to happen. So the leaders did the same thing with their mentors. They go to their employees and say, everything is going to be all right. And then they look for new mentors and leaders and coaches and said, is everything going to be all right? Have you seen that as well?
I have, you know, leaving corporate America when I did and going out on the entrepreneur path, my personal assistant just walked in. If you hear him, he's a four-legged personal assistant. I really enjoyed coaching and mentoring when I was with big companies. Mm-hmm. That was one of the pieces that I really enjoyed. Coming out now into the small business and coming into the world of candy. I mean, mm-hmm. my friends from B-School were all like, oh, it's a consulting firm. You're making this grand statement about the business environment. I'm like, no, baby, I'm making candy. Truly, that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But in the confectionery industry, it is a very open, sharing, supportive industry. And it was so shocking to me. Like initially, I'm like, what's wrong with these people? Why is everybody so nice? And I looked at it very, very oddly. But we belong to multiple trade associations and every single one of them has been great. I mean, it's people in the industry 50 years, it's people in the industry 5 months, 6 months, but sharing and being supportive of each other. Sure, we're competitors, but in a situation like this, we're not going back to normal. We're not going back to anything that I don't think we're going back to anything that we had before. So we do all have to figure it out together. Mm-hmm. And, I've appreciated that and been able to reach back. We have students who are our part-time employees, and for them, mm-hmm. this is totally different. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to say, it's truly a blessing for me to not have to put the facade up that everything's gonna be fine. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's a storm for everybody. Mm-hmm. And my fine might not be your fine. And mm-hmm. my next steps, normal or otherwise, may be very different or very similar, but we all got to get through it. And there's no point in faking it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we all get through it together. And we talked about, a little bit about the entrepreneurial spirit, but let's talk about Marshmallow MBA. What exactly is Marshmallow MBA?
Marshmallow MBA is a woman-owned small business. We handcraft gourmet marshmallows, small batch, in over 150 flavors. Mm-hmm. I have 9 different product lines. We've got traditional marshmallows, but our hashtag is anything but vanilla. We do vanilla, but we do our version of vanilla. You know, we have a whole line of happy hour inspired flavors. Mm-hmm. We've got family friendly flavors. And then we have something that we are trademarking that we call the smork. And that mm-hmm. is a s'more on a fork. And we do that 15 flavors. Mm-hmm. If you think of those giant candy apples that you see in the department store, that was my partner's inspiration for those. My business partner is my former college roommate. Mm-hmm. And she and I have been doing this for almost 5 years. We're based in central Pennsylvania. We're in York, Pennsylvania, just above Baltimore. Mm-hmm. We are currently in 22 states through more than 120 independent retailers. Mm-hmm. And the growth has been great. Our two latest products, we have an energy marshmallow mm-hmm. and an athlete recovery marshmallow.
Wow.
Wow.
So what are the 22 states, California?
One of them was, we were in Northern California in Chico. Now, we did hear from our customer that they're similar to your guest today from Seattle. The fires there have been tremendous. We are primarily mid-Atlantic, East Coast, North Carolina to Vermont. Pretty saturated in New Jersey as well.
Okay, well, we have to find out more. Definitely want to hear more from you, Amy. But please, I want to go ahead and we'll come back, introduce our next guest. And so Amy was talking a little bit about customization and personalization, because sometimes we get bored with the everyday, the average, and the regular. So I want to introduce Ms. Amber Williams, and she's going to talk to us about Scents Exchange, a luxury self-care scented candle line. Good morning, Amber. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm excited to have you here. So we were speaking with Amy, and she was talking about customization and personalization, and you focus on candles. Mm-hmm. What got you into the candle industry?
Actually, I started because ultimately I have my bachelor's in HR, and I was at my first HR job and just wanted to leave a legacy for my son and then really make it next to nothing in my first HR job, and just knowing that this wasn't for me, a complete 9-to-5, mm-hmm. Not bashing anyone who loves 9-to-5 work, but I just knew it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. So I started there. I actually watched a video on Facebook, and I was telling my mom, like, I know I need to do something, whether it's writing a book, doing something. I know I wanted to do something. And again, I wanted to leave something for my son, because at that point, my son was very young. He was around 2 years old. So I'm like, I want to leave something for my son, do something different, break that generational curse. Mm-hmm. So my mom actually had the products already. So we just got in the kitchen and started working. Mm-hmm. And then it's just so funny, what candle making is really a science. So mm-hmm. of course, we didn't get it right the first time. And, hers looked great, but didn't smell good. Mine looked horrible, but smelled great. So we had to, at that point, I was like, I kind of like, I quit. But she was like, no, go back. You need to figure out your recipe, what's your formula, what works for you, and then come back at this. So that's kind of how Scents Exchange got started.
Oh, I like that. And again, it kind of reminds you of the whole family aspect. One of the things I talk about is family affects us as far as whether they support our business, or they could be the person who's just like, you're crazy. You can't be an entrepreneur. You can't be a business for yourself. Go get you a regular 9-to-5. So I just applaud your mom for being the one who's in your corner saying, girl, dry those tears, get back in there, and we're going to make this work. I think that's beautiful.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny too. She's actually her own entrepreneur. She has her home a home daycare. So she's
Mm-hmm.
her own, but it's just so funny. Like you said, she still supports me. Even with that, she was like, well, once you make it real big, I'm going to quit and come work for you. So she supports me 100%. And it's just so funny too that, like we're growing and she just like 2 weeks ago came and helped me redo the whole workshop so we can get a better flow, and help, you know, with it, with us growing, help the shelving, everything grow with us. So she's very supportive.
What type of workshops do you do?
No, I'm saying the workshop where I make the product in for production.
Oh, okay, I thought you were saying like you do workshops that teach people how to make candles or how to go through this process or something.
Oh no, I was saying that, yeah, I do candle parties.
Okay,
So
I
before
like that.
the yeah, so before the pandemic, I was going out. I would come to you, so your home or whatever you have in your party, and I would teach people from start to finish how to make candles. And of course, they will incorporate it into kind of like a girls' night or maybe a birthday party. Those aspects with the pandemic, it kind of shut us down with that. So I'm thinking actually about bringing it back, but doing it virtual. But haven't really decided a finishing touch of if I should do it virtual or not.
People have gone in so many different directions during this time frame. You never really know what will work for you. But I would enjoy learning how to make a candle from a Zoom class or a Zoom workshop. I'm not someone who is very DIY. I'm more of a let me buy kind of person, but things that are interesting, I love to learn. You know what I mean? So I might take the class and never actually make a candle in my life, but I love the idea that that's an option.
Yes.
Okay. Now I want to go back to you knowing that 9 to 5s were not for you. One of the reasons why I wrote my book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, is I saw so many people who were saying, oh, I'm definitely an entrepreneur because I hate my boss. I can't work 9 to 5. I can't, I hate my commute. And it wasn't really about the thing that they were passionate about. Another thing that happens is people ask me, Sharifa, what is the one business that's guaranteed to be successful? And I always say it's the business that you're willing to do day in and day out. So for you, Amber, I can understand not wanting to be in HR because I tell people, and they most people can't believe it. I went to college to be an accountant. But then when I was sitting there counting numbers, I was like, can we just round them? Like, it's about 9 million, But I was in that same framework. You stepped out into entrepreneurial, stepped out into the candles. Is that something that you're passionate about, or do you think that this is something that's maybe a transition for you?
No, absolutely. It is something I'm passionate about. I found that with going in and making it in production, like that was bringing me joy. It was makes me happy. So knowing that too, with the 9 to 5, you got to make sure it's something that you like you said. So you got to make sure that you're very passionate. And two, my mission is not just about the candle or making the candle. It's about provide what I'm providing to my customers, which is self-care, knowing that, you know, us as moms, wives, entrepreneurs, we are very busy, but you do have to take that time for yourself. Because if you do not take that time for yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of your family, your child, or anyone, and you're gonna bring on more problems, maybe health problems that will tell you you have to stop and you don't want it to get there. You want to just be able to do it, you know, and you do it every day. So that is what, you know, my mission is, and that is why I know I love what I do, because I'm providing that to my customers.
I think that's wonderful. So, if I were to go to your website and take a look at your website, what are some of the self-care options that are being offered to your customers?
Well, of course, we're known for our candles. So we have our candles, we have room sprays, we have bath salts, and we have sugar scrubs, matchboxes. So we're working to be the number one one-stop shop for self-care. So all those common sense that will help you to relax, help you to sleep better. And I get asked a lot of which, you know, what scent will help me do this or what scent will help me do that. Even one that's it will help with chest congestion when you're going through that cold and flu season. So we have various options that's available to you.
I like that. Thank you for answering that question. Because what I find is I think Amy mentioned it as well, it's sometimes very difficult. And I don't know if it's easy for you or not, for people to do the shameless self-promotion. There's so many people who can talk about other people and their products and what they do. But when it comes to time to promote themselves, they're like, I don't know if I should tell them. So we have a question here from Elaine Marshall who says, remind me of the name of Amber's company again. So what is your website so people can shop while you speak?
It is www.sensexchange.com, and that's spelled SCENTS, X as in X-ray, CHANGE.com.
Okay, so I am typing and commenting at the same time so people can go ahead and shop
Okay.
while we talk. So, Amber, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest.
Okay.
And she is amazing, just as all of us are, Ms. Ritu Gupta. She's going to talk to us about Circled In. She is the CEO and the co-founder of her own company, which just so happens to be an award-winning 21st century recruitment platform. Good morning, Ritu. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm good. How are you?
I am excellent. I'm excited to meet you and to hear all about your journey.
Yes, me too. How many hours we got?
Well, I got about another 40 minutes. I don't know how long everybody else has, but that's the extent of what I have.
Yeah.
Tell us about you, Ritu. What's your story? Who are you and what do you do?
Well, my story started many decades ago back in India. So I come from very humble beginning. This was like back in 70s. I'm dating myself. And my mom is a teacher. At that time, she had to quit her job to take care of kids. But she's a super, super strong lady. And she said, I'm not going to just sit at home and wash dishes and take care of kids. So she started an elementary school in my home. And in 70s, people were like, what school? What education? Education was not on anybody's radar. So she dragged me knocking on people's doors saying, send your kids to schools. Through that process, I think education went deep into my DNA. So I went to the engineering school even before my 16th birthday. So I take pride in that. Did my master's and started my work in software development in multinational companies in India. 95, I was visiting Maryland. That was my first exposure to US, and I just fell in love. I was like, this is the place I should have been born. I was always a rebel growing up in India, always getting into trouble and stuff. So 99 moved here permanently to Seattle, Washington. We have been here since then. In 2008, I said, what's next? I'm a little bit sort of always looking for next thing, never content with what I have, good or bad. Went to do my MBA and after that moved into business and product management and marketing, all of that stuff. Again, 4 years later, what's next? I came up with the idea of Circled In is when my daughter went through an admissions process, application process in a school. It took me 3 weeks to put her application together. And even then, you don't know what will click with admission officers. So here's a writing sample. Here's a science fair project. She got in, but I lost access to that platform. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Next application, start all over again. You and I have LinkedIn. Shouldn't there be something for kids? Didn't find one, so decided to make one.
I think that's a wonderful story. Don't stop now. I was intrigued. I was waiting for the end. So you didn't stop there. You saw the need, which you exemplify one of the things that I always talk about. Successful people, from every successful person I've ever met, one of the key things, and there are many, but one of the key things is that they are never satisfied. There's always the next step, the next move, the next project, the next deal. And that's how when I read people and I look at people, if they have no ambition and they're not going anywhere, I'm like, oh, okay, you're not looking for the next thing. And that's what you have been doing. So when you saw that there was no LinkedIn for kids and for the admission process, what did you decide to do at that point? Because I'm the kind of person like I'll just build a website. But what was your process like to get this business started?
Good question. Of
Thank
course, my
you.
first inclination was, am I the only crazy Asian mom thinking education? Are there any users else who are going to use it? So right off the bat, I had Kindle at that time, so I laid it out in a nice looking, what it could look like, just a vision. And I literally sat in a mall, and there was this play area where moms were there and kids were playing. So I asked those moms, it's like, hey, what if there was something like this? Will you use it? So I did interview with about 100 parents, including from elementary all the way to high school. And I heard stuff like, When can I have it? Oh my God, this is the best thing. Oh my God, this is godsend. So that was the approval I needed from the market. It's like market discovery. And I knew that there is a need right then and there. So that is when we got into creating a beta, just initial version of website, and brought it out back to those 100 people after beta was out and say, now you tell me what's working and what's not. So after that, it has been just moving forward every single day.
So when the people came back to you and they told you what was working and what was not, what was some of the main feedback that you received?
So our biggest priority at that time was engagement from students. We didn't want parents to carry the burden of this. We wanted at least 13 and above kids to be owning the process, owning their profile and portfolio. So what I did actually, I opened the website to kids and I just sit back. And if they hover over something, or if they struggled, or if they're like, okay, where do I go from here? That was a red flag for us, because UX UI is one of the most important thing you can have in a website. If website is easy to use and engaging, people will use it, especially teenagers. So that was one of the biggest thing. And based on that feedback, of course, we made many enhancements, and we still, even today, we have like high school students and university students working with us as interns every single day.
So when you received the feedback, did you see that it was working for the students to to include to be empowered to do the process yourself? Because my children are 23 and 26, and I like college admissions. I would be like, let me be right there and see what you're doing. You know, not that I don't trust them, but the question may be like, who do you inspire to be? And my kids, knowing them, I love them to death, but they might be like, Batman. Like, no, like you can't be Batman, you know? So it's like, is there a part where the parents go along with this process as well?
Yes, absolutely. So parents do have a login. They
Okay,
can
that's
be
what I wanted to hear.
connected to the kids. You can have, as a parent, multiple kids. And in one login, you can see their profile. You can update their profile if you need to. In addition to that, we actually have a school offering. It's not just for B2C, it's school offering where we sell it to high schools and nonprofit organizations where teachers, guidance counselors, admission people, they can work with kids in their classroom or in their school and guide them based on that portfolio. It's called High School and Beyond Program, College or Career Readiness, whatever it's called in different states. And it meets that mission for schools as well.
Miku, I love that you considered the user experience. In a previous life, I did IT work, and that was always the piece that got kind of left out. The des software developers are amazing. You can do amazing things, but if nobody could use
Right,
it's
exactly.
not great. And to be able to speak to the students and empower them, and maybe give the parents a little bit of a break. Hey, you do this, then I'll come back and circle back. That's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the K-12 software spend today, $6.7 billion every year sits on the shelf. So schools buy this software. Nobody ever uses because it's too hard to use. It does not fit in their strategy. It does not fit with other tools they have. So our core purpose is engagement. Our CircleIn student users are spending three times more time on CircleIn than other comparable websites, as per Google Analytics. Google tells us that. Yes.
And for this environment, in the environment now, when kids can't be with their
Exactly.
teachers, their mentors, their counselors, oh, good for you.
Thank you. And here's the best part, actually. So we started bringing colleges and universities on the platform as of last year. The
Congratulations.
purpose of CircleIn is it's like LinkedIn for high school students and colleges, making the best fit match, creating win-win for both sides. So initially we started with the student piece. Last year we brought in colleges and universities, and now they are using CircleIn to find the best fit students for their institution, recruit them, students come back second year, graduate on time, find a job, pay off student debt, become a contributing member of society. Win-win. So that's the power of CircleIn.
I like that. You got me at a contributing member of society. I was one. I'm like, I almost want to sign up somebody's kid. I don't have a high school kid, but I'm
And
signing somebody
graduating on
else.
time, the whole concept with getting folks, getting the students graduated on time. because we forget that.
Yes,
you know how many
in this pandemic.
You know how many students actually graduate in 6 years from our U.S. universities?
No.
60%.
60%.
So 40% kids go to college, don't come out with a degree, come out with student debt. $3,700 student debt average on kids who did not get a degree.
And
we need to change
and
this.
Significantly higher among students of color.
Absolutely.
I want to come back with you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Vito Polaris, who is here with us today from Joseph Advisory. He's a fund manager, and he's going to talk to us about investments. Good morning, Vito. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me, and I'm enjoying our other guests and learning from them and their entrepreneurial journey. Let me begin just by saying that Joseph Advisory Services is, it's me, it's my consulting practice. My middle name is not Joseph. I took the name when I had an opportunity to get into the venture capital industry. And I reached back into my upbringing. I thought, what does this seem like it is, right? And I thought about Joseph from biblical reference.
Who was
at one point a slave and thrown in jail and whatnot. And then eventually, by being a good steward, became second to the Pharaoh in terms of administration in times of plenty and in times of lack. So that's where I took that from. And not a perfect match, but certainly a lot of parallels. You know, I started as a consultant, and then that turned into managing a fund that I helped start, first ever of its kind in El Paso, Texas. Making high-tech investments in technologies that were spinning out of national labs or universities. And then that turned into advising more and more and more. I have some of those data points on my website, which is my name, betopayares.vc as in Victor Charty. I've deployed about $95 million over the last 12, 13 years. I've made over 100 investments, backed over 45 venture funds, over 50 direct investments that I've made. I've backed 29 Black and Brown founders, 18 female founders. I've mentored 39, and by mentor I mean like deep engagement with 39 different founders. I'm also an endowed chair. I hold a PhD in strategy. My dissertation work was on how do you take high tech companies and develop them and evolve them in sophisticated environments like the U.S. So how do you take emerging companies from emerging markets, say Mexico or South America or Southeast Asia, put them into the United States and help them be successful. And little did I know that when I wanted to get a doctorate and eventually went into venture capital, I would go back to draw from that experience, and even end up teaching entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial mindset to students. I'm very proud of the fact that I get to do that. And particularly for one key reason, and that is when I went to college, I was the first in my family, one of eight children, first in my family to go to college and get a master's and get a doctorate. But when I was in college, nobody looked like me that taught me, right? And so I said, if I ever have a chance, I want to be able to do that. So I teach at a Hispanic serving institution, New Mexico State University, where I really enjoy that role. But back to venture capital. I'm very happy of the fact that I get to do this. Not a lot of venture capitalists look like me. And in the last couple of years, the idea of diversity has gotten a lot of attention in venture capital. And I remember when I started this, myself and another friend would go to conferences and we'd look at each other, and he was Hispanic and I was Hispanic, and we'd say, hey, you want to call the meeting of the Hispanic Venture Capital Association to order? We have 100% participation, right? And so I'm glad, yeah, we have a quorum. I'm glad that there's now interest, right? But I'm here to tell you that this stuff is hard. It's very difficult. And while I appreciate that there's funders and foundations and others saying, hey, there ought to be more fund managers, and I think there should be, and there are a lot of efforts around the country taking place, you have to keep in mind that the most important thing is the entrepreneur. There is no venture capital without an entrepreneur. There is no successful story without an entrepreneur. And there's no IPO or anything like that without an entrepreneur. And so what we need more, now more than ever, in the middle of a pandemic, a recession, fires and, you know, brimstone falling down almost, we need more entrepreneurs. We need more people that have the self-efficacy that these strong women have expressed to say, hey, I can do this. I can leave a legacy. I've noticed the problem and I want to solve it. Or maybe I'm not an expert in this area, but I can figure it out. And what I've seen, you know, in my years as an entrepreneur and as a funder, you know, evaluated thousands and thousands of opportunities, is that the number one thing that distinguishes an entrepreneur is self-efficacy. The belief that you can do it. That's the number one thing. The number two thing that actually pivots you, and you know, some of these things have been cited, like, yes, having a parent as an entrepreneur actually directs you towards entrepreneurship. Or having a parent that nags you to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, in many cultures, mine included, perhaps others, that's like the summit of achievement, especially among immigrants like me. Having a parent that nags you in that actually makes you want to do something different. And sometimes that different thing is entrepreneurship. And that's a great outcome. You know, that happens in a lot of cultures. But the second most important thing that actually determines success is having access to a network of people. If you don't have access to someone you can bounce ideas from or engage or tell you, hey, you know, you really don't want to do that. I've done it. It didn't work out. You want to think about these things. Or, you know what? I believe in you. I don't have much money. Here's the first $1,000 to get off the ground. That is super important. And that is a distinguishing factor as to whether someone continues in their entrepreneurial journey or not.
Oh, that's wow, Vito. I mean, like, I feel like I was in church there. Like, I was moved. The spirit moved. And it's so interesting because I'm so vulnerable and so honest with my audience. So I tell little, you know, stories. But I was worried about you, Vito. Like, before, you gave me one word answers. I asked a question like, yes, no, okay, I got it. And I'm like, I don't know if Vito's going to be able to talk. And then you come out with this passionate message that I'm like, wow, that was just so beautiful. And then when you were talking about Joseph and the name, I'm thinking, okay, you said it's not my middle name. I'm like, well, who's Joseph? Who's this guy? It must be a mentor. And then you start talking about Joseph from scripture. And I'm like, that is just so beautiful. And it is a clear example. It was one of the things that we talk about on the show that makes America, at least, you know, we talk about it, is everyone has a story, but no matter where you start off, anyone can be successful if you have the right mindset, other things as well. But that's what Joseph represents, is the story of where you go through. So I thought what you had to say was beautiful, Beto. Thank you for sharing. So I love the aspect that you're helping so many people. And I'm a Black female and I need help, right? I'm an entrepreneur who knows I can do it. I have something, because we're going to talk about these ladies. They got excited too. I don't know if you saw them, Beto. They were like, that was good. That was good. But, and they all have unique products. Usually what we hear is that if you get a unique product, you have a unique idea, you can be successful. And you have four different companies, four different business owners, myself, who has, you know, it's like, wow, let's bring people together through talk shows and communication and conversation. Then you have Amy, who has her entrepreneurial spirit and her background, but then she has marshmallows that no one's done before. Then you have Amber with a focus on self-care and customized candles. And then you have Ritu, who built a whole platform for high school students in the education platform. So when you sit here and you look at these different businesses, does anything stand out to you?
You know, that what is very clear is that everyone has a passion in what they're working on. And you might say, well, what is common between, say, engaging people on a talk show, developing new flavors based in marshmallow, or new scents and ways to express that, or getting students through college? It's that desire to see success happen and to see gratification in, say, a customer base. And that's super important. So the things that I look at, you know, that to me are very important, is this person doesn't have to be an expert in their specific field. It helps. It absolutely helps. Okay. In fact, what I talk about, especially when I'm teaching students, but also when I'm interacting with entrepreneurs, is I want to know if you have 10 years of experience doing what you're talking about. If you have 10 years of experience, that means that you, you know, by some measure, right? If you spent 10,000 hours on something, then you've developed expertise and you've now mastered it. 10,000 hours equals to 2,000 hours a year in a job. So 5 years later, you're now an expert, right? And so if you multiply that by two, you have 20,000 hours of experience. But to me, who trained as an economist, that equals two economic cycles, okay? You've seen ups and downs twice in that industry. So that means that when you're saying, I know something about this, you probably do, okay? Especially if we look at a resume where you've gone from, you know, assistant to now supervisor to manager to director, those kinds of things. Okay, this person has walked the walk and talked the talk in a very specific industry. I pay attention, okay? Then I look at, okay, how are you evolving that? So I'm seeing that, you know, whether Amy has really, you know, spent a lot of time around marshmallows or not is not the issue here. The real issue is, has she taken learnings that are not associated, right, with marshmallows and said, I know what this looks like. I've seen this path before, right? So past experience is a great indicator. But more important to me is, and this is why I have to spend time with an entrepreneur, right? More important to me is, do I believe that this person's going to stick to this for the next 10 years? Because when you back a venture company, it's going to take 10 to 15 years to see success. And not everything that's put down on paper day one is going to work out that way. And that's okay. So for me, it's particularly important. And I like to use the excuse that, you know, I'm Latin, so I'm relational. So I have to figure out if I like you, which is partly true. You know, we tend to do business with people we like mm-hmm. and people we trust, right? And that combination is very powerful. But for me, it's very important to think that I can pick up the phone at midnight on a Saturday to talk to an entrepreneur who's going through a divorce or whose kid just experienced a car crash. That's super important because at the end of the day, companies are people. They're not yes. products. They're not business models. They're nothing else other than people. And people are what makes things happen. Whether you come from government like Amy or HR like Amber or tech like Ritu, or you, Sharice, they have such a broad experience in different companies and looked at public service as well. It's mm-hmm. always about people, right?
I love that everything's about this whole sense of community. I mean, every single one of us, it's relational, it's relationships. And even though we may be working alone in our workshop, or we may be working alone coding, or I may have sugar burns all over me alone at midnight, it doesn't matter. There's still a driving force there, and it broadens the community out. And True. I often work alone. And True. So to be able to know that there are other people out there, like with your show, Sharifa, I mean, like I said at the beginning, it's nice to know there's other people. I'm not completely insane in my own head. I'm partially insane in my own head. But to be able to, you know, know that there are other drivers out there and know that there are people that are committed to building relationships and communities, no matter what the background is.
I definitely agree. And one of the things that stood out to me that Beto said is I always talk about my track record. You know, I didn't just wind up on the Roundtable Talk Show. I launched my first radio show in 2009 with Blog Talk Radio, back when Blog Talk Radio was free. So I've seen the ups and downs. I've seen the journey for years. People said, you have to do video. And I was like, I don't want to do video because I can do radio in my sleep, in my pajamas. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to dress up and be camera ready. But then I moved to video and it's a whole new ball game. And the first couple of shows, if you watch the first couple of my shows on video, like all I'm doing the whole time is fussing with my hair. I'm like, I don't know, you know, but you get used to it and you go through those experiences. So I definitely agree. I'm just working on packaging it so I can talk to some of those investors and VCs. I want to go to Ritu. What were your thoughts on what Beto had to say?
Actually, I was going to say, even from the entrepreneur perspective, we want to work with VCs who have that human touch. Just yesterday, I was having my fourth meeting with a VC firm, and afterwards, I sent them an email sharing my last month's investor newsletter, and said, look, transparency is one of the very first core value. I want to work with VCs who can deal with raw truth, who can deal with my sharing, who can deal with completely transparent. It's not just about being successful. It's about being successful and happy, because like Vito said, it is going to take 10 years. In entrepreneurship, they say, oh, this is overnight success in making for 2 decades, right? 2 decades. And then suddenly people think, oh, bam, overnight, you can be Mark Zuckerberg. No, you cannot.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to
be? It needs simmering. It needs long time. So you want to have people who believe in your values to be on that journey with you, not just some
people.
You know,
we like that. We like them.
Yeah, money is a commodity. To be honest, you know, it takes 3 things to build a great company. It takes mm-hmm. an idea, and it doesn't need to be the world's greatest idea, but it needs to be a good idea. You need some money. Money's a catalyst. It's a fuel, but you don't need all the money in the world. You need some, mm-hmm. but you absolutely need amazing people. Those are the companies you remember, right? Because yeah. you can do the best ideas and all the money to mediocre, unmotivated people, and it won't succeed. You can give a good enough idea and sufficient money to a great team, mm-hmm. and those are the companies you remember.
I think that's beautiful, Amber.
I was going to say, Vito, I completely agree with you that you need the people, because even with the product, you can have the best product out there, but if you're not providing that relationship with them, that good customer service with them, they're not going to buy from you. So I completely understand. Everything is about relationship and about what mm-hmm. you can, you know, like you said, being on video. When you first started being on video, you was making sure your hair was done and things. They want to see that behind the scenes. They want to know that you're a real person. So I completely agree with the relationship aspect.
Have you looked into VCs at all, Amber?
I have not.
Yeah. So before I provide, if I could, Sharifa, some advice on different styles of VCs, right? Let me make one comment on what I've also perceived is you all have a product, right? Mm-hmm. And that product is tied in many ways to you. And that's great. That's necessary. We all want to move towards a product type economy, because a product you can make and price, and a service is very hard because you have to essentially be there, right? Mm-hmm. And the ways to scale a product are usually cheaper or less expensive or more scalable than a service can be. Now, having said that, we've all heard of software as a service. It's such a yes. beautiful word. You know, you sell it once, people pay you, they pay a subscription. Well, the dirty little secret about software as a service is that people stop using it after a few months, unless you have a customer success team whose job it is to watch and make sure that someone's always engaged on your product, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't divorce people from software or a product. Mm-hmm. Now, there are very specific product investors or venture capitalists, right? That basically invest in things like marshmallow confections. Or...
Point me towards them. Please, God.
Like, I need yeah. that number. Who I talk to? Bill
right
Johnson?
Now.
But there are very specific investors for that. And angel groups. You know, I don't know if you know, but there are 14,000 angels, registered angels in the U.S.
Okay, but let me just say this. Let me just say this. And you probably going to give me some genius news because I cut you off. But I have gone through the process with different companies. Mm-hmm. And we actually discussed this on the show as well. One of the most difficult aspects, like when I was looking for funding, is they had it's a really large website, but I'm not going to mention their name, is they have all these angel investors that you can contact and connect with to consider investing, right? But when you go to them, you have absolutely no way to connect with them unless you are a part of their network or you know someone that's in their network. So I would have to know Vito in order to get to Vito's friend who is, you know what I mean? And it's like, still, it seems like a way to keep people out because you literally have to know someone in the good old boys club in order to even get into the club to ask someone.
So let me address that, okay?
Thank you,
because
Vito.
I
remember your audience.
I don't look like your typical venture capitalist.
Okay.
And in a few years, maybe that'll change. But the reality is that the venture capital industry does not necessarily scale, right? Mm-hmm. Now, remember what I said about the second thing you need to be successful, you know, as an entrepreneur, is you need a network. Mm-hmm. And so that includes capital, right? So someone like me and perhaps some of you didn't come from, you know, lots of rich uncles or wealthy parents that could just say, don't worry, here's the money to start this. And if it fails, whatever, you know, we got more money for you to fail again or start something else. Mm-hmm. And so, and also from a cultural perspective, I could tell you that Latin Americans, generally speaking, we're afraid of failure. Failure's mm-hmm. not seen well in our communities, right? So you don't want to try something because if you fail, you've just wasted your one shot, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why America is such a wonderful place, because we actually have, as Americans, a different relationship with failure. Mm-hmm. There's the ability to recover and second and third and fourth chances, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, in venture capital, imagine it actually matters. The data shows that it matters where you went to school. Mm-hmm. Like there's like 15 to 20 universities that churn out lots of venture capitalists and that churn out a lot of entrepreneurs, right? And like I like to tell my students, I say, you know what, you know, you all are sitting in front of me. I know a thing or two about this stuff, and I want you guys to be entrepreneurs. And, you know, hopefully in this class, you'll you know, in a year, 10 years, you'll go out and do something. And by the way, if you were sitting in a class like this at Stanford, that class would not exist because they don't teach that there. Mm-hmm. They don't teach it because it's already part of their DNA. Mm-hmm. You're expected as a student to actually be working on a startup, psychologically get engaged with a startup before you ever graduate, right? Because the network is so prolific. So we don't have networks set up, right? Especially in Black and Brown communities in some ways. Now, so how do you break into that? And it's true. You kind of need to, you know, I'm not joking. I get 20 deals sent to me per week, right? Like even sitting here, my email would go off and I know that someone just sent me a deal, right? And I know that I know whether I have a relationship with them or not. Of course, if someone says, hey, I want you to talk to so-and-so, it's a big deal because they're paving the way for that person. If I get a cold email, especially if it reads, Dear Ebetuel, because that's my first given name, I know they don't know me because only my mother calls me that.
Right? When you're in trouble.
Right? When I'm in trouble, right? So they found me on some database or this or that.
Yes.
Right? And I used to take the time to respond to every single email and make a 30-minute appointment. And then, you know, life gets complicated and busy, and we can't always do that, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to combine your self-efficacy that you can do something with what is the best network and the way for me to break into that network, and what is my, you know, what is my timing on that, and how do I break through for that? So there are things taking place, especially for Black and Brown, to try to do that, right? There's lots of other efforts to try to open those doors. Now, getting the meeting is not enough, right? Because you get to pitch, and maybe, I'm not saying some would, but maybe some VCs might say, yep, let's put a check mark by that. We met with a Black and Brown founder or a female founder, and so our numbers went up, and then we can report that and write a nice article, and then someone will say, wow, they're really doing a lot. It only matters if you actually wrote a check. Mm-hmm. It only matters if you spend time with an entrepreneur as you would with any other one. And it only matters if you're on their board and offering advice and opening your network and creating change over time. And in my opinion, what I do only matters if I help people change their family tree. Well, that means if I help them build wealth. That is the only measure. Not if they got to pitch me, not if they, even if I wrote a check. It's if they tend money back to me because they made money, right? Mm. So it is a very difficult process, it is. And so you have to act in common to say, how do we address this? And so you have to find where are women and Black and Brown, or where are conscientious venture capitalists or investors networking? What are they looking for? I have to do a lot of intel work on them as much as they're gonna do on you, right? And you have to find a point of connection because we're human, right? We're going to pay attention if we see that someone went to the same school that we did, or, you know, if they live in the same neighborhood, or if they had the same experience. Now think of the world as a pyramid, and the bottom of the pyramid, right, is people that live in poverty and what have you. And so that's a very large base. But if you look at that very top of the pyramid, and that's 1% or maybe less than that, that top of the pyramid, if you take that, country to country to country to country. That very top of the pyramid has more in common with every country, meaning every person that's in that top of the pyramid in their respective country has more in common with the other person that's in the top of that pyramid in every country than the vast majority at the base of the pyramid will ever have in common. So the slosh to go from the bottom or the middle or right below that 1% up is hard, right? Mm-hmm. And so you got to find what are all the tools I can use to my advantage. Now, what I can say here is there are four other extremely talented people, right? And so it's about opening up those networks. It's about saying, okay, where does this fit? And you know what? It's also, there's also nothing wrong to say, you're looking to diversify either as an investor into women-led companies or African-American or Hispanic, and I'm going to give you that opportunity.
Right. I like that. I like that. I think that's really great. So is it okay if I remind you in my deal email that we shared the roundtable talk show? We Absolutely. Have that connection in common that we were both in the same place at the Absolutely. Same time. Absolutely. I thank you because I know for a fact, I'm telling you, this is not my first rodeo. I did not just get here. I know people spend a lot of money and effort just to speak with you. I know that to be true. They're doing a lot of different things to get your time, to get your attention. And you are here with us speaking to our audience. Everyone is tuning in, listening, taking notes. So I appreciate you. Now we are coming down to the last 4 minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Ritu.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Ritu. Sorry, Ritu. I'm coming back to you better.
Yeah, so one thing I will say is education is the most powerful weapon to change the world. You don't like some things in the world that you are living in, change it. Bring education to every child, and high school education is just not enough. You need to get them some higher education beyond high school, because we are not going to be building widgets in factory, at least in the United States. We are working on driverless cars and space travel and vacation. All that requires skills, and education is the best equalizer. Bringing at-risk youth onto the platform in front of colleges and universities is the best thing you can do to help them. Help a man how to fish, not give them the fish. So I will say that with Circle Lane, that is exactly what we are doing, not only improving the outcome of current education system, and hence hopefully reducing the tuition that keeps going up every year, but also leveling the playing field for those kids who just fall through cracks. So check it out. It's CIRKLEDIN, and K is not a typo. K is kids in the center of the circle. That's what we are
doing. I like that. Thank you, Ritu. Amber, what do you have for us?
I want to leave with the guests to know, I want you guys to know that self-care is very important. So whether that be you watching a show or lighting a candle and taking a hot bath, know that you need to take that time for yourself, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to take care of your family. And just to start, just to help you to take away, to start it, just take 30 minutes a day. That's all it takes, is 30 minutes a day. If you can do an hour, that's great, but just start with 30 minutes a day. And I promise you, you will start to see a change.
I love it. Thank you, Amy. How did you enjoy being a guest as opposed to in the audience?
I love this. I want to come back every week.
Come back every week. Grab a seat. Allison Alm in the organization, Mavis here every Monday. Pick
Find a day. Let's go. So Marshmallow MBA is about so much more than candy. We want to be good stewards of our resources. We want to be good community partners. But you know what? If it's shameless self-promotion, marshmallowmba.com is where you want to go. These are luxury marshmallows. This is hashtag anything but vanilla. And we have marshmallowween.com. That is our latest collection. I would love to sweeten your day. Anybody on the panel, Sharifa has my contact information. I'm on LinkedIn. I would love for you to reach out, and I'd love to get you some products.
Yes, we'll get some product. So is Marshmallowween the Halloween version?
It is.
Ooh, sounds tempting. Sounds exciting.
We just launched Black Velvet Vanilla yesterday. And it is black vanilla.
I want to check that out. It sounds okay. Cool. Thank you, Amy. Give me some. I'm gonna have to.
I want to get you some.
And I'm gonna eat it on the Roundtable Talk Show and promote it. Beto, go ahead and take us on out.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm very happy to have been a part of it. What I wanted to do was just share a little bit that sort of as Ritu started, you know, there is a war, right? And that war could be poverty. That war could be lack of healthcare. That war could be lack of exposure, right? And I want to congratulate you, Sharifa, because, you know, you could fight a war with information. You could fight a war with a commando that goes in. But the reality is wars are fought by every force that you've got. And so it's great to have the outreach that you have. You have to have that. You have to win against the enemies that basically don't allow all populations to thrive. And I think we're living in a very unique time frame, and there's never been a better time to be an entrepreneur, right? The best and largest and most successful companies and companies that you recall have been started in the worst of times. You know, think Airbnb, think Uber. They started in the last recession of 08, 09, right? Who knows what's going to come out of this? But rest assured that is being worked on by people as creative as our other panelists and as creative as some people in the audience.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. They say more millionaires are made in a recession than any other point in history. And I think that's because of the old mom's tale, necessity is the mother of invention. And so when you're comfortable and you're happy, you're not trying to figure out how to change things. But when there's a global pandemic, everyone lose their jobs, their businesses, we have to figure it out. That's what many companies are doing. So I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support, but please don't just watch the show. We appreciate you sharing the show, but please contact our guests, visit them. Don't bother Beto too much because he already has too many emails, but go ahead and get you some marshmallows. Go ahead and take you some self-care time. Get those marshmallows from marshmallownba.com. Go check out Amber's Scents candles. And if you have a teenager, we want to make sure we get them into the best colleges, and they are with Rito. So please support our guests. Follow them on social media. Send them a text, send them a tweet, send them an inbox. And when you send them that message, please let them know that Sharifa Hardy says hi. And so if you're interested in more ways where I can support your business, if you want to go ahead and grab your tickets to my Power by Purpose 2-day empowerment teleconference on October 9th or 10th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you all.